You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yes, it is the APC podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com, part of SB Nation and Vox Media, talking Green Bay Packers all off-season long as we, you know, whatever is happening right now is happening, and eventually that we hope that looks like football. And the whole time that's happening, we'll be here for you. I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter. And joining me to talk about, you know, some stuff, it's the big boss himself, Tex Western, at Tex Western on Twitter. How are you, my friend?
Doing pretty well. Things are getting interesting. Opt-out deadline's almost here, so that's a fun thing. And it's been weird after, you know, months of slog and nothingness to actually have some semi-real football news to talk about.
Right. There's like something. There was a lot of nothing, and now there's like maybe something. Speaking of weird, what is this beer you're drinking? This is like a wild label we got here.
Yeah, it's Fantasy Factory. It's an IPA from Carbon 4 back in Wisconsin, near Madison, I think. I know Jordan on Acme Packing Company is a huge fan of that one, and it's definitely one of my very favorite IPAs. So the unicorn breathing fire with like the samurai cat writing on his back on the label. Yeah, it's a good one.
That's good stuff. You are like full on Wisconsin right now. So you got the Wisconsin brew. You got a brewer's hat on, and this is a Lambo in the background, a rainy Lambo.
Yep. Yeah, I got the Zoom going, got the virtual background. So you do what you got to do in trying times.
Got to do what you got to do. Well, what I thought we got to do today, and thank you, Tex, for joining me, is I wanted to start with a little COVID 101, because as we touched on, a lot of nothing was happening, and then we think maybe something is happening, but there's a lot of confusion about what that something is, and we've touched on that a little bit the last few weeks as we fired the podcast back up here, but I still think, I know I feel confused, and I think a lot of listeners out there feel confused as well, so I wanted to do, again, a little COVID NFL 101 to start out and just kind of like set the ground rules, what we know about how this is going to work, how it's different. If you've followed any of the player and coach availability, lots of questions about how it's different. But how is it actually different, technically speaking? And Tex, the first thing that I wanted to ask you about was this thing called the reserve/COVID-19 list. And last week, Mason Crosby and I think Jay Sternberger were added to that list. This week, it was long snapper Hunter Bradley. So when it comes to the reserve/COVID-19 list, as Michael Scott would say, can you explain it to me like I'm 5 years old? Is this, it's like completely new list. How big is it? What are the protocols for getting on and off? Let's just start with that. This is a new thing, right? Not an old thing with a new name.
Correct. Yeah. This is entirely new and different for this year, given everything that's going on. Basically, what it is for players who test positive for COVID-19 or who have had confirmed contact with someone who tested positive and therefore require quarantine for a certain period of time. So that's basically, you know, that's your criteria for getting on this list, is if, you know, if you've come into close enough contact with somebody else who's got it that you need to quarantine from the team. So essentially, the league is very clear about putting somebody on the list does not necessarily specify which of those two categories that they fall into, whether it was their own positive test.
Right.
For presumably for, you know, for medical and privacy reasons, HIPAA and all that fun stuff. But yeah, there's really no limit to the number of players who can go on this list from what I can tell.
Okay.
And essentially, you know, it functions basically like a short-term injured reserve list. So, you know, a player put on that list does not count against your 53-man roster during the regular season. So you've got a, you know, a window where you can promote another player from the practice squad or sign a free agent or whatever you want to do to fill that extra roster spot. And that's going to be the really interesting thing about this is cycling through, you know, players going onto the list, coming off of the list, how teams are going to fill those roster spots that get opened up. There's some really interesting new rules, especially with the practice squad too, that kind of go into this too. So it's going to be a weird season as far as just a roster transaction and a roster construction standpoint. Because with, you know, with the protocols and testing guys coming into the building, if you would want to bring in a player from outside the organization, you might still need 3 or 4 days before, you know, between signing or claiming them on waivers and actually being able to get them into the building to start participating in practices or whatever. So I do think there's going to be some different stuff in relation to, you know, to transactions and to picking up players off the waiver wire this year, than there has been in years past.
Wow. Okay. So that makes total sense. No limit to the amount of players. I mean, you know, God forbid you could have 8-10 players that get COVID-19. This thing spreads like wildfire. Yeah. And then, you know, your roster could be a hot mess. So that makes sense. You can stash players. You touched on roster and practice squad. So there's some changes there. The rosters are bigger, I assume, and a practice squad as well.
Yeah, the roster, as I understand it, is still staying at 53 during the regular season.
Right.
However, on Tuesday each week, teams get to specify 4 of their practice squad players that they're protecting for that week. So in effect, they sort of have a 57-man roster, whereas in the past, you know, other teams could sign a player off of, you know, any other team's practice squad. In this case, you know, each team gets to pick kind of a rolling group of 4 guys who they get to protect for that week. The practice squads in particular, though, are significantly bigger. They've been, I think, 10, maybe up to 12 in the last couple of years.
Right.
This year, it's up to 16. And they also added a stipulation that I think it's up to 6 of those spots can be taken up by players with any amount of experience in the NFL. So whereas before, it was primarily only younger players, guys with, you know, maybe a maximum of 2 or 3 years of NFL experience on those practice squads. Now you can have up to 6 guys with any sort of experience level on that practice squad. So it does that's kind of their effort to allow for more flexibility, allow for more guys to be kind of waiting in the wings with a team to help out if, you know, if they do have a positive test and have to put somebody on the reserve list, you know, even, you know, real close up to game time.
That's interesting. And so the opening up of sort of practice squad eligibility, I mean, that's something that we've talked about off and on the past couple of years as almost feeling like an inevitable kind of necessary thing, right? You've got plenty of players who have been in the league long enough to be disqualified from practice squads who still may have something to give, or maybe bubble players and you know, they end up SOL sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I liken it to, you know, think about your top minor league baseball players, right? I mean, those guys tend to be either young, up-and-coming prospects who haven't quite cracked the majors yet, or it's, you know, the older guys who've kind of shuffled up and down over the course of a few years. You know, maybe they've never had a consistent role with a major league club or something, but they've gotten enough, you know, playing time to be up there for a couple of years. I think that's sort of where we're going to be heading long term. And this year is maybe you know, an excuse to try out that methodology with the practice squad.
Yeah. Interesting. Great. Well, I appreciate your insights there, and I feel a little bit more educated, and I hope everyone else does as well. And a little peek behind the curtain before we were hit record, you were still doing some research to make sure that you knew everything that you needed to know, because it's just been confusing. I mean, you know, leave it to the NFL to muddy the waters, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that still is kind of unclear is exactly what you have to do to qualify to come back off the reserve COVID list and back onto the active roster. There's some level of, you know, if the player has a positive test, there's a quarantine period, there's a certain number of negative tests. I think there's something about you have to have two negative tests within the span of 48 hours or something along those lines. But, you know, that's the one area where I still need to, you know, do a little more research and see if we can figure out exactly what a player has to do to come back to active status.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we just saw Hunter Bradley getting added to the list. I mean, that just made me think, you know, you've got plenty of players on the team where there's like multiple backups, but a few where there's not. I mean, obviously, you know, Aaron Rodgers goes on the list and you got to put a backup in, but, you know, someone like Hunter Bradley, like, sure, they have an emergency long snapper, but they don't have a backup long snapper. We're going to see at some point this. I just feel like once every year on some team, we see a backup long snapper. I feel like we're going to see more of that, or emergency long snappers, or, you know, a kicker even, you know, someone gets, you know, brought in game day and signed on a quickie contract because, you know, Mason Crosby or whoever on any team comes down. It's just going to be wild, man.
It's crazy. And yeah, I won't be shocked if, you know, if maybe teams actually carry a long snapper on the practice squad for that exact reason. At least
that
if
would make
got,
sense. Yeah.
Like, you know, and maybe they keep a long snapper and they keep one kicking specialist, whether that's somebody who's, you know, ostensibly a punter or kicker. But, you know, if your entire special teams battery goes down, you know, and if they test positive on a Saturday when you've got a game day on Sunday, you don't have enough time to get a guy into the facility, get him passed through all the protocols, and have him ready to play on Sunday. So it would not surprise me if, you know, there's been some talk about, you know, quarantine quarterback, but I wouldn't be surprised if teams go with like a quarantine specialist as well.
I can just picture it's like Saturday night, the Packers have, you know, Mason Crosby or J.K. Scott goes suddenly on the COVID list, and then they're out there like looking at high school fields trying to find some like 40-year-old washed up guy booting balls see if he's good enough.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird, man. It's gonna be crazy. And like everything else that's happened these last 6 months, we're gonna be seeing some things in the next few months with football if it happens that we've never seen before.
Yeah. Buckle up, guys. Well, I feel more educated, and I thank you for setting some of the record straight for us, Tex. Let's move on to, for the first time this summer, as we get back into football action, some notable nuggets. We had some availability, some coach, GM, and player availability. They were on camera. They were on the microphone. They were saying things into those microphones, and we have content, and that's how the cycle continues. So I thought we would sort of give maybe one notable nugget, something to come out of any of that availability over the past week that you thought was notable. I think you're a good person to ask because as the person who runs the blog, all that stuff gets filtered through you. You got to manage it. So what do you got? A notable nugget, just one thing.
I think it's how much everybody believes in Alan Lazard. Everybody this week, it seemed like, was asked about the receiver position with Devin Funchess opting out, you know, what they expect from this group, and whether it was Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, everybody started talking about Alan Lazard first and sounded really excited about him. So I think, you know, that number two wide receiver job is his to lose, especially again, without Funchess now. That's pretty obvious, but it sure sounds like everybody is excited for him, excited about what he brings to the table. And, I've been on the alien lizard train for a long time now. So I'm happy that, you know, certainly happy he got his shot last year and that it seems like, he's going to get it again this year. And I'll just throw in there that my other guy, EQ, is coming back too. So fingers crossed that that he's back and healthy and is ready to make an impact as well. And I know Aaron Rodgers talked about him a little bit and looking forward to getting him back too.
Yeah, and we will talk a little bit about EQ later in the listener mailbag section, which we'll get to in a moment. But I'll give my note nug. It wouldn't be an off season if I wasn't getting excited about the tight end position. I know.
I knew it was coming.
I always get burned, but I just keep crawling back, man. I can't help it. I think tight ends are really cool. And Goody mentioned specifically that the team planned for Jay Sternberger to play a big, important role. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. I mean, you can call it fluff, you can call it whatever, but I thought that was notable. And Tex, especially now with Devin Funches opting out, as you just noted, although you noted it in relation to Alan Lazard, Devin Funches opting out for the, don't you just think that this roster now though is primed for like weird personnel groupings and fullbacks and tight ends all over the place? I just want to see it, man.
Yeah, that's been something that some of us have been talking about quite a bit. John Meerdink and I in particular, that, you know, he had something just recently about the, you know, potential for multiple tight end groupings. You know, some of these tight ends are, you know, guys like Josiah Dugar, the third round pick, you know, maybe more of an H-back type. So you'll have them lined up in the backfield. You know, the 12 personnel with this team could look really interesting. If you've got an Aaron Jones in the backfield, let's say you've got Adams and Lazard out wide, and then you've got Mercedes Lewis and Sternberger, you could go five wide out of that package if you really wanted to, or four wide with Lewis on the line and Jones and Sternberger in the slot.
Big athletic bodies everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, there's the fact that Sternberger, you figure he can line up in line. He can line up in the slot like Jimmy Graham did a lot last year. And has a kind of a similar field stretching ability to maybe, I don't want to put him on par with like an early Jimmy Graham, but the same type of role, right? So I think there's lots of creative ways that LaFleur can roll out this offense. And I mean, look, we think back to our number one play on APC's countdown of the best plays last year was that ridiculous Jamal Williams touchdown catch in the back of the end zone against Kansas City.
That came out of
32 personnel.
Yes.
It was Jones, Williams, Danny Vitale, Graham and Lewis on the field all together with no wide receivers. So we know that LaFleur can do some goofy things with personnel or with just weird groupings and draw up some interesting plays. Now that one obviously was Rodgers, you know, being ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's gonna be fun to see how they use some of these guys. I mean, I'm excited about John Lovett, the H-back they just picked up off the waiver wire from Kansas City. You know, they sound excited about him as kind of that H-back fullback role as well. So, you know, don't be surprised. And plus maybe he's your emergency fourth quarterback too, right? If he makes the team, if your whole quarterback room gets hit with COVID, who knows?
John Lovett, so, for those who don't know, a college quarterback who entered the draft as a tight end and who will be used as a fullback. I think I have that correct. The most Packers thing, the Packers easiest thing I ever did here.
Yeah. So those Ivy League fullbacks, I mean, here's hoping he's the next Kyle Juszczyk, because it sure seems like the Packers are going after that. And that was one of the other things that Gutekunst said that I thought was really interesting, is he acknowledged that the team does value that position differently now in the LaFleur offense than it did under McCarthy. And so I think that's a big reason why DeGuara was the third round pick. You've seen them bring in a couple of these types of guys. And I guess it's just a confirmation for me of what we've thought this whole offseason. There are certain positions that they think are really important to this offense, and they want to get guys in there.
Yeah. Before we move on to the mailbag section, I forget if we had you on post-draft, but you mentioned in passing there DeGuara. Alex has mentioned many times he's rooting for him. Hope he does well. You know, love my Packers, but still feel like we'll never come to terms with the value there at in the third round, I believe. What do you think?
I'm in exactly the same spot. I don't, even if you think that that's a critical position on your team, I still just don't see the value there in, you know, towards the end of round three. I know that there was one receiver that I really liked who came off the board, I think one or two picks earlier, Devin Duvernay out of Texas, who went to Baltimore.
Yep.
So he was the one I was really holding my breath for and got kind of swiped out from under, under Green Bay. And I just can't help wondering if they had that fourth round pick and hadn't traded it away to move up for Jordan Love, if maybe, you know, they go in a different direction there with a third and try to grab DeGuar in the fourth. You know, it's too late at this point, but yeah, Alex and I are pretty much on the same wavelength on that one. I hope he does well. I hope he's a great player. But just the value just doesn't make sense to me either.
Seems like a nice guy. All right. Well, let's move on and do a little listener mailbag section.
You've got mail.
And we'll cut the song off just in time so we don't get sued. At the APC Pod on Twitter, the APC Podcast at gmail.com is still an active email that you can send love or hate mail to. I do read it. And our first question comes in on Twitter, not Ryan. He says, why is it so difficult for people to get that drafting Love and keeping Rodgers until the end of his contract are not mutually exclusive? Tex, this question obviously presupposes that they are in fact not mutually exclusive. So I guess I'll start there. Do you think it is true that they are not mutually exclusive?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You saw the Patriots try this with Jimmy Garoppolo. Granted, he was a second round pick, but he was an early second round pick, as I recall. And, you know, they drafted him and Tom Brady was playing, you know, at an MVP level for the next couple of years. So, you know, if it all depends on Rodgers, right? If he bounces back at that MVP caliber, that, you know, 2014 type, or even, you know, that stretch midway from 2016 through his injury in 2017, if he's at that level again, you know, he's worthy of the money that he's getting paid on his contract, and it's feasible to have those guys, because at least the beauty of having a rookie or a quarterback on a rookie contract is it by definition doesn't hamstring you financially. So, yeah, I agree. I don't think there's a, you know, it's mutually exclusive, but if Rodgers, you know, shows a dip in his play, or if he kind of continues on the trajectory he's seemed to be on the last couple of years, then that's where the conversation really begins.
Yeah. And the other side of that is that, you know, Love needs to prove that he's good,
right,
in the NFL, yeah, can play and is worthy of taking the mantle. This just kind of struck me, but how do you think not having a preseason this year to evaluate Love impacts sort of this whole situation going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more difficult, because that was, I mean, for Rodgers, that he had some pretty good preseason performances in his first couple of years to give that team confidence that he was ready to take over. Now, a lot of what he did, he didn't practice, that was part of that as well. Yeah. But you know, Gutekunst really talked about that on Sunday as well, that he really likes seeing how guys perform under the lights, you know, under pressure in real game situations. And we'll see. He said LaFleur's got some ideas for how to simulate that in practice, but there's really no way to do that until you see it for real, you know, in a game setting. So it certainly puts Love, I think, behind the eight ball a little bit. It makes it probably more difficult to project him to maybe take over in 21. I think if there's a real preseason next year, then maybe that's an opportunity for him to demonstrate that, you know, maybe by his third year in 2022, that's, you know, a feasible time frame.
Yeah. And again, as we've touched on, it's like a balancing act of, you know, Rodgers could play really well and you have no choice but to keep him or trade him for some reason. Or, you know, like as his play goes down and they like Jordan Love more and more, you know, there's a balance there. And that brings me to our next question, which comes from Joe at Work on Twitter. And he asks, will we ever see Rodgers throw 30 touchdowns in a season again? I believe he's thrown 30 or more touchdowns 6 times. In his illustrious career. You think he'll get to 30 again?
That's a good one. Let's see when the last time I know he didn't do it this past season. I didn't do it the year before. So what would that be? 2016, right? I think there's a chance he gets there. I mean, he's only been 3 or 4 shy the last couple years. 26 and last year and 25 the year before. I'll say I won't be surprised if he gets there this year. If only because the, you know, Devontae Adams being gone for a couple weeks in the middle of the season, I think hurt a little bit. And that was when, you know, the team was using a lot of Aaron Jones. I think he had that 4-touchdown game against Dallas, with all 4 touchdowns, I want to say coming inside the 10-yard line or something like that. Whereas those would more often, at least in years past, be, you know, passing situations. So, yeah, if you're telling me to go on a limb, I'll say yes, he gets to 30 again.
All right. I think at some point, I have to agree with that. I don't know. I got nothing else to believe in, man. I'm just an Aaron Rodgers truther at this point. I'm just that guy. So I say yes as well. One more question, and I teased it a little bit earlier, but Ben Saylor writes in. He says, is there much precedent for receivers missing their entire second season and successfully bouncing back? Asking in regards to a wide receiver whose name starts with E and ends with Quinimius St. Brown.
That's a good question, and I'd have to think back a little. I'd have to do a little more research to think about that. But
and you talked earlier about really wanting and hoping and thinking that EQ might show out this year, but it's a valid question to wonder if that's if that's ever happened after like a second season is just totally just tanked off the books. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in his case, he's got the benefit of probably being fully healthy right now because the issue was an ankle sprain last year, not like a torn ACL or, you know, a blown knee. So from that perspective, there's no reason. And I seem to recall that there was a lot of speculation that they would hold him on the initial 53 last year to get him onto IR to give him the opportunity to come back to the active roster sometime in the season. They obviously didn't do that. But I think with that, at least, you know, he should be healthy. And based on what he showed in 2018, I think if he is that same player, there's absolutely a role for him on this team, whether that's inside, outside, you could play him a little big slot. But he seemed to really have a pretty good rapport with Rodgers for a lot of that season when he was used heavily.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that size and speed combination that you really love to have. So, yeah, as far as precedent, I'd have to do some more research. But I think the fact that, again, it's an ankle sprain, not an ACL, I think that helps. And so there should certainly be opportunities for him. Again, I keep coming back to Funchess opting out. That opens up, I think, a lot of snaps for guys like EQ, potentially guys like MVS, to carve out a role as maybe that third or fourth receiver.
Am I just a foolish Packers fan? Because I just feel like every offseason there's the bitching and the moaning about the thing that didn't go our way in terms of what fans wanted to add to the team. And but come this time of year, especially like once, you know, well, we don't have preseason, but usually once that starts, I'm just brimming with optimism. All of a sudden I'm like, EQ, yeah, we got EQ. We're gonna be fine. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, if we had Brandon Ayuk instead of Jordan Love on this roster, I'd feel ecstatic about this receiving core. But you know, here we are.
Optimism reigns supreme though. I mean, that's the other thing that I come back to a lot on this show is at the end of the day, I just want to have fun watching football. I just want to root for my team to win. And I just want to have fun. I don't know.
That's what it's all about, man. You know. It's supposed to be a good time and it's supposed to be fun. And you know, we've been lucky to have a lot of good teams come through Green Bay in the last 20 or 30 years. So we had a lot of fun and hopefully it keeps going.
Well, we've been lucky to have you on our airwaves here tonight. And what is more fun than ending a podcast with a polka? Any other Packers nuggets or notes you want to hit our listeners with on the way out the door here? Or are you just going to take your sleeveless shirt into the next room and finish your evening?
I think I'm gonna take my leave. Just make sure to keep it at APC for everything, and yeah, go Pack, go.
Damn straight, you heard it straight from the big boss's mouth. Evan Tex Western, thank you so much for joining us. It is time for us to go. If you like what you hear, leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever they're calling it now. We got a not very nice review recently. So if you made it this far in the show, I assume that means you like it. And you could say something nice and we can kind of like depress that one person. Their review, kind of bury it a little bit. That person was not nice to us, man. So just hit that 5-star review button real quick or leave us a little note. We read them all. They make our day. Patreon.com/notenugs. NOTENUGS, plural, note nugs. Patreon.com/notenugs if you want to support the show that way as well. If you have content ideas, suggestions, or want us to talk about a specific thing, at the APC pod on Twitter, theapcpodcast@gmail.com. As Tex has already said, keep it locked into acmepackingcompany.com all off season long. Things are heating up, parts are moving, but players are in the building, and that's exciting. And we'll be here to talk to you about that as the off season goes on. I'm Zach Rapport. Go Pack, go. Just keep rambling. Don't know when to shut up.